Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Peaky Blinders, Season 4, Episode 5, The Duel, and Season 4, Episode 6, The Company.
Wow, yes, yes we are. And we're excited about this because the end of Season 4, Season 4 has had some really good stuff in it. So I'm excited to talk about it. We have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will maybe possibly be spoilers for other seasons, because obviously there are two more seasons of Peaky Blinders that we're going to be covering, and we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having lemon lime Gatorade. What? It was in my fridge. It is a Sunday night. It is a school night.
Can you make up something like they are very athletic in this and that's why?
Sure, they're very athletic in this. That's why.
Sure, whatever, fine.
There's a lot of running. What do you want me to say?
I don't know. It is my birthday month, and I have received another.
I was about to say, it's not your birthday anymore.
I said month. And I received another birthday gift from my daughter, which is the Peaky Blinders 40 cocktails selected by the Shelby Company Limited cocktail book. And it's actually got a lot of cool stuff in it. And I really just have to kind of cram things in here because obviously we are right toward the end of watching Peaky Blinders, but there are a ton of drinks in here that could have gone with this last two episodes of Season 4. And I'm going to read off the names of some of them just because they're in here. I'm also going to read off the names of some ones that I definitely can't use anymore because we're past that in the seasons. So I can't match them in anything. But the very first thing in here, and they have them divided by liquor, that is the base. So the very first one is in the whiskey section. It's called Vendetta. They have also in that section is Mr. Sabini. I guess that could work. But most of these whiskey cocktails are things that would be for the first couple seasons, which would be like Red Horse. I could have done a John Shelby earlier in this season, but can't do
I'm
John
sorry
Shelby
I got before. You it for your birthday and not okay. Give it to you before okay. Now.
I might at some point do a Birmingham Sour. Ada Shelby I can still do. The Shelby Julep. Easy Dizzy, which is like a tea-based cocktail that I sent you the ingredients for. It's kind of cool. Mr. Sabini, the 1919, Section D, which I did do. It came out of this book, although I just saw it online. Inspector Campbell, Freddie Thorne, Ulster Force, Billy Kimber, and Danny Whizbang are all things from previous seasons. And Grace's Secret was a previous season thing. Black Country, I don't know that comes up again. Let's see, things that I could use the Grand Duke was a previous thing. Tatiana is a previous season. Grace Shelby, obviously, you say previous season. But the one I ended up picking for this episode is the Bonnie Gold. And it was a variation on something I had intended to do anyway, because there is a lot of discussion about gin and in this. This last two episodes. And there's a lot of drinking of gin in the last two episodes. This is the Bonnie Gold has 1.5 ounces of, it calls for London dry gin. I think that's what I used, whatever. 2/3 of an ounce of Giffard Menthe Pastille liqueur. I don't have that. So what I used was peppermint schnapps because it's minty. I used actually a little bit less than 2/3 of an ounce, but whatever. I used actually a full ounce of fresh lime juice and tonic water, a little bit of aromatic bitters. I don't have mint as a garnish, but so what? And it's fine. I don't really like the peppermint schnapps in it, but I felt like
because you added that.
No, I didn't. It's in here. It calls for it calls for this mint liqueur.
Okay, but it's not the exact same thing as mint schnapps.
Okay, whatever. But in any case, it called for mint liqueur, and that's what I had. So I had to replace it. But it's okay. It's not amazing. But you know, Bonnie Gold is a major part of especially episode 6. So let's get down to it.
All right, let's get into season 4, episode 5, The Duel. Shangreta is following Tommy and wants to take the final shot. He tells his men he wants to. Tommy goes to the apartments, I believe, where they had that shootout before. And yes, has a gun, potentially from season 1. It looks like the gun from season 1 that they stole from the stash.
And yeah, it is a big machine gun. A Tommy gun you can carry, so whatever.
Yeah. And he has that ready for him. So obviously this is premeditated on his part. And so he already knew. So thank God for that. He's helping civilians along the way, which is a very good Tommy thing to do, because they also agreed during the Vendetta agreements, episode 2 or something, that they would not harm any civilians or children. So they actually stick to their word, which is impressive. Shangreta pays a boy to tell him where he went, and there's like a whole shootout section. Shangreta thinks that Polly lied to him. He's correct. And so, yeah, he pays a boy to tell him where Tommy went. I think he tells him the wrong way, which is very brave on his part.
Yeah. He points to go down, like he's indicating Tommy went down. In fact, Tommy went up. So, but that's partly because they all are Peaky Blinder people. You know, they know where home is.
Yeah. Luca is determined to get Tommy, even though they don't know the city like he does. And also he's been taking down his men one by one. Luca wants a one-on-one duel with Tommy in the end, even though he has now taken out 3 of his guys. Like, it's just them left.
Tommy really. Tommy personally took out 3 at this point. So, yeah.
Yes. And... but the cops show up and start to arrest Tommy while Luca gets away, or at least restrains Tommy while Luca gets away, which, what's the point in that? But sure. Then the corrupt cop stops the other cops from arresting him and tells him that the soldiers are coming, which we'll get to in a minute. Yeah. So Polly talks to Tommy about telling Arthur the truth, I guess, about the fact that they had a ruse going on. I don't know. It didn't seem like that big of a deal.
What they tell him is that Polly had this meeting with Shangreta, and they set this up so that Tommy could take some of these people out, hopefully take Shangreta out. Obviously that didn't happen, but they did get rid of some of the people. So, you know, Arthur's taking out 2 of them. Tommy's now taking out 3. So they are much lower in number. They'd come with 11. So they're down to 8. Sorry.
So he knew really? he knew they were coming because of Polly. Charlie, his son, comes in and is just like, "You got 3 what?" And he's like, "Shillings, don't worry about it. It's not men. I didn't kill 3 men." and Tommy, while he's getting a drink, looks at pictures of Grace while Lizzie looks at him longingly. Lizzie tells him she's pregnant. He's extremely businesslike compared to when Grace told him that she was pregnant. Like, he sits her down, sits Lizzie down, and is like, "Oh yeah, well, if you want to get rid of it, I know some people." And she's like, "No, I'm keeping the child." And he's
you should
like,
know me stuff by now, yeah.
Yeah, and so he's just like, "Okay, fine, but you're going to have to find a replacement, because if you're going to be pregnant, you're not going to be working. Not with my child inside of you. I want to make sure that child's okay."
Yeah.
And so then Arthur starts using the stash of coke that's in the vault. He's really been into coke lately. Mm-hmm. He goes home drunk and tells Linda to save him or whatever, because he wants to be forgiven by God. Polly and Michael visit Amarama Gold, or Amarama Gold.
So part of the purpose of this, Michael's gotten out of the hospital and they want to keep him safe. So what Polly does is that she goes to Amarama Gold and says, "Take him into the woods and with the gypsies, so that they can't find him. Because if he's in a hotel or if he's anyplace else, people will talk and they'll find him and they know who he is." And then she decides she wants to have sex with Amarama Gold, which is a little unnerving. They have a discussion about spirits and what her ability to see people is, and she sees his wife's spirit and whatever. But basically, she before her idea of foreplay is to threaten to kill him, because we know this because that's what she did with the artist too. So she threatens to kill him if anything happens to Michael. And he's like, "Ooh, you're a sexy ghost." And because, well, so part of the way she phrases it, she talks about how her gift for seeing spirits came back. And it came back in part because she is, she had the noose around her neck. And because she had the noose around her neck, she's gone through the window and she's like in the spirit world now. And she's basically, you know, completely freed from any kind of restraint. She can do whatever she wants because everything's possible. And, you know, she's not scared of death anymore is what it comes down to. So, hey, fine, we'll do whatever we want. So that, then we see that, yeah, she decides to have sex with him. They then cut to London. Shangretta is visiting Alfie Solomons. Actually, you know, if you want to do this part, I want to talk about Ada talking to Tommy later.
Lucas starts talking about the upcoming boxing match. Solomons knows that they'll ask him for help taking down Tommy, so he wants them to run his rum to New York in return, along with some cash. And he says, I have run down the cost of assassinating a dear friend. And Luca tells him that all he wants is for Solomons to sneak his men into the boxing match and they'll do the rest. But he will do the run for him to, in return.
Part of what Alfie wants, though, is that he's like, well, they all have to be Jews. You need to make sure they're circumcised because they're going to be checked.
Yeah. And it's like, they're going to be strip searched for sure. Yep. Solomons thinks Tommy is right, that Luca will kill them all in the end. And of course he's right. Soldiers show up at Ada's door and bring her in for questioning. They strip search her. Okay. A colonel brings in, apparently Colonel Younger, brings up her meeting with Jesse Eden. She says she's not a part of the Communist Party anymore. He brings up Freddie Thorne, but she's like, well, I just don't believe in socialism anymore. It wasn't blind love. I believed in the cause. I just don't believe in it anymore. And he says that she could be useful since she has a foot in both camps, and to ask Tommy about it.
Right. And so she does. She appears at Tommy's desk when Tommy gets back to his office. And they have this discussion. And Tommy admits that her arrest was something that he wanted to have seen publicly. So that, you know, people basically would believe that she's part of the cause and blah, blah, blah. And so he had basically arranged it with Younger, but the strip search was not part of it. And Tommy's like, I'm sure they'll be called down for like watching while she has her clothes, while she's humiliated and has her clothes taken off. But he vouches for Younger and he's like, look, this arrest was a show. We're trying to set this up so that I can promise them to prevent a communist revolution here in Birmingham. And they need that because they got the strike going on, blah, blah, blah. And I've got a meeting with, what's her face? The girl. And Ada's like,
Jesse Eden.
Okay. Ada says, oh, Tommy Shelby is going to stop the revolution with his cock. Of course. and then Tommy has, been offered, she asked him why, like, what is your incentive here? He says, they've offered me multiple contracts for military vehicles to be sent all over the world. It's, you know, millions of pounds and I really need it. And he's like, well, why not? And she's like, oh, that's what we're going to put on your grave. Tommy Shelby, why not?
I did find that very funny. I also wrote that quote down.
Yeah.
He says it in the next scene too.
He does, because Charlie and Curly are setting up his dinner with
Jesse Eden.
Oh, fine, you cover her. I can't stand it. So
I barely wrote anything. So Charlie and Curly set up the dinner for Tommy and Jesse. He has made the revisions to make the wage parity a reality and wants to know about socialism. They dance and kiss, question mark? I wasn't really paying attention. She tells him soon. And I'm like, okay.
As soon as X. Like, he's wanting to seduce her, basically.
Yeah. And so, yeah. It's fight night, and everyone is getting searched as they enter. Arthur is using more coke. The ladies show up in pretty flapper outfits. Albie Solomon shows up. End of episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Alfie Solomon shows up and it looks like Tommy's going to meet him. But yeah. So what were your best parts of this episode? I actually had it in my head that this was split up rather differently the way that, and it's split up in my head the way I think it should have been split up, like between episodes.
I know where you think it should have split, and I do agree. Right. But
there's some bullshit in the pacing of these episodes. I'm saying that up front now. So what were your best parts of this episode?
Tommy for being resourceful and planning with Polly. Polly for being a part of the plan in the first place. Thank God.
Yeah.
And Ada. I really like Ada. And
Ada. That's a good one.
She's very funny. And I like her relationship with everybody of, like, she's trying to be the peacemaker, but she also will not put up with anyone's bullshit. Like, do not make them, like, she understands. And if the strip search wasn't an element, I think she would have understood even more of, like, oh yeah, well, you needed it to be seen and I'm going to be helpful to you. Fine. But the strip search was her line. And I appreciate that. Of like,
I can too.
Absolutely understand, especially with two soldiers watching. Absolutely not. And
they were male.
So, but there's also something I like in her interaction with Colonel Younger. There's a lot of good chemistry there, actually. And it made me remember what actually is going to go on in season 5. And I was okay. I know now. That's a shame.
It is.
He's a very handsome man.
Shouldn't say anymore. Yes, he is. And he's cute. And we like that. But in any case, my best part's Tommy. I liked Alfie Solomons in this because he's smart. I liked him playing Shangretta. I liked his list of like demands for like, oh, this is what it's going to take. And it's going to be another, $100 or 100 pounds or whatever, or 100,000 or whatever the amount was, because, both myself and Mr. Shelby are parts of an oppressed class. He has this kind of rambling. It's funny how he is just making these demands of Shangri-La. And he points out to him, it's like, you haven't demanded anything from me. And that tells me that Tommy's right. You're just going to kill us all. It's like, you'll agree to anything because you think you can take me. I liked that. I like part of Polly in this episode, and that the part you mentioned is definitely a huge element of it. I liked her being in on the plan, and I liked that she wanted them to share it with Arthur. And I did like Ada in this episode. I think Ada has really come on in the last couple seasons. What were your worst parts?
Lucas Shangretta, Jesse Eden. Jesse Eden is just so boring.
And I
tuned out that entire scene with her and Tommy. So when I say kiss ? I truly don't know if they kissed. I just remember her saying soon, and I was just like, okay. Like, I completely disassociated. And then Alfie, I like Alfie. I liked the scene. I did not like the fact that he was so easily like, I have an organized like balance sheet of all of the little things I'm gonna need to do this to my friend. The fact that he would even do it to his friend in the first place tells you a lot about Alfie. But I don't know. I don't really like that he would still do it.
Oh, I don't like that either. I just feel like his method is entertaining, and that's that's the entertainment value of that. Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate the girl. I'm never going to call her by her name because I hate her. Lizzie, I didn't like in this episode.
She at least was honest.
Yeah, but it went on too long. I mean, I just felt like this discussion about this child and what they were going to do about it, it just wasn't compelling to me. I don't know. I if they had cut out that whole subplot, I don't think I would have cared.
I think it should have been cut out from the get-go, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't like Linda in this episode. She's basically like,
what did she do in this episode? She just helps out Arthur after he comes home drunk.
She's also like she starts like using cocaine.
No, that's next episode, Mom.
Well, no, well, she started before this next episode. We see her actually do it.
No, that we find out next episode that she's been using.
Right. So, and I don't like Holly and Abraham Gold again. It's something that they could have excised from this entirely, and I would not have missed it.
It just doesn't. I feel like they should have set the groundwork more for it if they were going to go this route, because it just seems like rushed. And if they want us to emotionally connect to them as a pairing, they should have really gone for it in a similar way that they did, like, say, Tommy and Grace in the first season, of like a slower burn, but you still kind of resolve it within the same season, because you can do it in six episodes. They've done it before, but they're going more the Linda and Arthur route, where it's just like, oh, well, you don't need to see any of that stuff. Here's the fact that they're already kind of together. And it's like, okay, like what? Or like the John and Esme stuff of just like, well, all you have to know is they're together. That's it. That's all you get to know.
Sad. Whatever. Yeah, love that. What grade did you give this episode?
I don't know, a B? I don't know.
I gave it a B because it's like, you know, I honestly, it was building up to like, I really thought we were going to get there and we just didn't.
Nope. That's next episode.
Whoever was editing these episodes does not know how to pace an episode. I'm sorry. They just don't. And it really pisses me off because there's great entertainment in these episodes that they like throw it in the middle. It's like, what the fuck is this doing in the middle of an episode? It's like,
if I'm being honest, I think that, and I'll talk about it when we get there in the next episode, but I think that they've set a precedent of like the thing that's going to be happening to happen at the end of an episode for dramatic effect to make you watch the next one. They've done that twice now. And so like, I think maybe they just wanted to break it up a bit. It's, they've done it within the same season. So I think they wanted to do something different.
I'm sure they did. It was a dumb choice.
I don't mind it all that much. It makes the next episode oddly paced, but not awful. I mean, it gives me good stuff to say about the next episode, I suppose. Anyway,
yeah, good thing to say about the next episode, so go.
Speaking of the next episode, season 4, episode 6, The Company. Everyone is prepping for the fight. Alfie talks to Tommy, and it's a long thing where they use a lot of metaphors and analogies and such, because that's all they talk about. I'm sorry. I know this is probably an unpopular opinion. I do like Tom Hardy as Alfie. I think it has funny moments. They let him riff way too long. These scenes do not need to be as long as they are, and I think that they do not need to be, if they're not important and if it doesn't say anything about the characters, it doesn't say, we already know Alfie's a weirdo. We already know he says random batshit things. We don't need to hear it every time he's there, and they utilize him a lot, which is fine, but they just, like, sometimes he's just not relevant. And so, I mean, he is relevant in this case since it's his fighter that's going up against Tommy's, but it seems odd that they're just letting, I just tune out whenever they talk, because they're always going to talk in an analogy and it's always just going to be really obvious. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. Cause there's this one line of the big will fuck the small in the fight. Oh, I wonder who that could be. Like, we already know.
Well, right. But he's talking about, right, he does have the metaphor, right? So he's talking not just about his big fighter.
I know, Mom, I'm not a fucking idiot.
Thank you. But in the conversation, he also mentions, oh, you know, these people from America and blah, blah, blah. And he's talking about, of course, Shangri-La and the Mafia, right? So he is very much pointing out that big fucks small always. And, you know, Tommy is kind of like, so, yeah, but he's convinced by that in multiple ways.
How about this? I think the metaphors and analogies are fine, but when you use them sparingly, when it's not the every single conversation these two have is an analogy or metaphor, I just think that's my problem. Every single time these two talk, it's always an analogy or metaphor for what's going on at the time. And I think that if they were just more direct, obviously they're just getting around to the the point that Albie's just not a direct person, even though he kind of is. It's just weird. I don't understand what they're trying to tell me. And I understand. Okay. It's plain as day what the message is supposed to be. They've gotten a lot less. I mean, there's been a lot less finesse when like making these arguments, like nuanced, where it's just like big fuck small. It's like, okay, caveman, we already figured that out, thank you. Like, we already know Lucas Degrad is gonna fuck them over. We already knew that. We already know that this whole thing is like, oh yeah, no, Bonnie Gold is smaller than the other guy. It's like, we know that. Like, we know both sides of this metaphor. It's not, it's very, very clear. Thank you very much, Alfie. We do not need to see you this much. Sorry. That was my TED talk. Anyway, so he's moving away. He tells him that, whatever. Polly, the fight's going on. Polly talks to Lizzie in the bathroom about the baby, and Lizzie says she'll get a weekly allowance, like alimony or whatever. Ada comes in and finds out about the baby. She takes a swig of gin or something.
They have a giant bottle of Tommy's gin, and it is full when they start in the bathroom, and by the time like the fight's getting close to the end, it is nearly gone. They are getting wasted in the bathroom.
Yeah, Lizzie will be having a girl apparently, and Polly tells her to name her Ruby. So just in case you guys wanted to not care, since you guys don't care about like a reveal of, oh, they had a child and they named her Ruby. No, Polly's just going to tell you what the gender is, and she's going to tell you what you should name your child. Like, I mean, there's no mystery now. There's no like, oh, that's nice that you named your child Charlie. At least there wasn't a moment like that with Polly of just like, you are having a boy, you will name him Charlie. It's like, we already know. Hey,
Grace would not have gone for the breast feel up thing.
And Polly wouldn't have done it for her. So it's fine. Anyway, Lizzie's used to it, so whatever. Linda, she comes in and does a line of coke. This is where we find out that she's been doing coke ever since she's come to Birmingham, because she hates it there. And Lizzie tells her the news. Linda says, who's the father, or have you narrowed it down yet? I'm sorry, that's so funny. I wouldn't like that line if I cared about Lizzie. I don't care about Lizzie. So I'm okay with them like poking fun at it. It's just funny. Anyway, Arthur notices a guy going towards like the locker rooms. Hang on.
There are two things that happen with the right there. So one other thing that Linda's bitching about, oh, did someone spit on me? And Polly's like, if they spit, just spit back. Like, you need to be on our level, dear. So Arthur, you also miss Emerald Gold tells Bonnie to take out Goliath, I guess is the big fighter's name, in the fourth, because he'll get 20% of the take on the betting.
Because they're going to increase odds or change odds when you see that he's losing in like one of the rounds, and it's like, oh well, the odds are going to go up for the Goliath, and it's like people are going to make more bets because it seems like more of a sure thing, and then of course he's going to come out at the end. Arthur follows a guy to the locker room or bathroom. Tommy also follows a guy to the locker room or bathroom. Polly also starts following Tommy. There's this whole sequence of people following each other.
Like, part of what sets Arthur off, Arthur has been noticing throughout the fight that these guys in the corner with this Goliath guy aren't boxing guys. They don't know what boxers need. They don't move like boxers. And, you know, all of that subtlety is something Arthur knows, because that's something he's done for, you know, years and years and years. And so he's like, yeah, it's just wrong. And Tommy's kind of trying to talk him down, like, oh, you're just being paranoid. It's the pills. And Arthur's like, nope. And so when the guy leaves, and this is at a point where the fight's getting kind of intense, and he should be paying attention to the fight, right? So Arthur just thinks that's suspicious, and he gets up to go, and Tommy tries to stop him. He's like, no, let me do my job. Arthur's like, let me do my job. So he goes, and then another one of these Italian guys leaves as well, and Tommy notices it. So Tommy leaves to follow that guy because he's worried for Arthur. And then Polly's like, where are Tommy and Arthur? And they're all like, oh, they're fine. The girls, because she's sitting with the girls, and they're all like drunk at this point. And so she realized they're missing, and she goes looking as well. Arthur has gotten into the locker room, and there's like a steam room in there. He's pulled out his gun. We had seen hands pulling out a garrote earlier. So he goes into the steam room. The guy, and we hear Tommy call for Arthur. And at that point, the guy try kind of pulls him in with the garrote, and he's strangling him. It's really very violent and bloody. It's very icky, and it's extremely concerning because Arthur's dying. I mean, he just is. So the guy tries, then shoots off Arthur's gun. Tommy pulls out his gun. Arthur goes down, and the guy is about to shoot Arthur when Tommy shoots the guy. We didn't even see Tommy in the scene. So Tommy then holds Arthur. He's very upset. We are having this intercut, this montage is intercut with Bonnie Gold taking down the big fighter in the ring, and he wins. I will say that these shots are really, really well done. It is really
Well,
well
because
shot.
of the neon blue that's in the hallway
Polly,
and the
yeah.
steam coming in.
Yeah, so Polly comes, has been following, right? So she has a gun, she sees Tommy, and she wants to go to Arthur, and Tommy restrains her. And we see that they talk, but we don't hear what's said. Tommy then goes back out, and we see him whisper to Finn, and then he tells Lizzie that Arthur's dead, because Lizzie comes in like, "What's going on?" And he's like, "Arthur's dead. You've got to handle Linda." Linda breaks down. Tommy tells Finn, like they grab one of the guys who's involved in this plot, and he tells Finn to take the guy's eyes out because Tommy's beating this guy in the hallway. But Finn's back there with him, and he's like, "Take, use your hat cap and take his eyes." And Finn's kind of like reluctant to do it, but he does it. Tommy gets into the ring. He shoots his gun off and says, "No one's leaving. My brother is dead." And he's very clearly upset. His uncle Charlie tries to restrain Tommy. Again, he whispers something to Tommy, and what we see are kind of wild eyes off of Tommy. He's clearly just very, strung out. And then we have another gypsy cart funeral being set up. We have people bringing flowers to it and laying flowers on it as it goes through town, which is kind of sweet. I mean, it kind of tells you that Arthur has some standing in the community. But we also see Linda with their little boy. And Tommy is basically walking around furious. Polly tells Michael over the phone that Arthur's dead and that he needs to come home. And or plans have changed. We see Michael come home. And Tommy says, "I have planned. I'm sending you, Michael, to New York." And he's like, "Why?" And he says, "We have company business in America." And Michael's like, "Am I going to come back sometime? Basically, am I being banished?" And Tommy's like, "Look, I know that you knew about this plot, and you knew about your brother's, thing with Shangretta, and you didn't tell me about it.
That's
So,
true.
yeah." And Polly, of course, having been in on the whole betrayal thing from the beginning, this was a test, and she knew it was a test, and she knows that Michael's failed. So she's kind of like, "Yeah, you got to go to the US for now." And so he has to get on the train right away. Tommy then calls America. We don't know how that he's like, "I got."
He puts in a call to the US. He doesn't call America,
He doesn't
but
say well either, and he should, and so whatever.
either way, the family holds Arthur's traditional funeral. Mrs. Shangretta with a white flag shows up and waits to discuss terms of peace or whatever. She says the vendetta is won and they'll take everything they have, including their businesses, or they all die. Luca Shangretta shows up to take Solomon's business, but in Camden Town. But Solomon's already left town and rigged a part of his business to blow up in case you like open the door. Smart.
Yes.
Lizzie come like in back at back in Birmingham. Tommy's in his office with Polly. Lizzie comes in pissed off that Tommy's not visiting her or something.
Yeah,
It's so
like this.
bizarre.
And again, this subplot to me is like,
I don't care. Luca has taken over Salmon's, Sabini's, and the other ones in Camden Town, and he is coming to for Shelby Company Limited. Tommy made the label for the gin as the drink for incurable sadness. And they, Tommy, Polly, and Finn, I don't know why Finn's here, but he's the last one, meet with Luca at the distillery, the gin distillery. Luca gloats about leaving Tommy alive but taking everything he has. Luca wants him to sign the papers on his knees. He like knocks over the table like a guy who just lost a game of Sorry, and he is just really pissed off even though he's winning. Anyway,
Yeah, no,
Tommy says,
his temper tantrum. It's really very funny.
Tommy says what Alfie told him of the big fuck small every time, and so he was like, yeah, well, I found someone bigger than you in Brooklyn. Two families want to take over your monopoly in New York, the liquor monopoly in New York, and it would start a war between the families. But if I kill you in the vendetta, they can go in and do it without the war. They can take over your business without the war. And Alfonso Capone from Chicago also wants to move in on the liquor business because, of course, we have to bring up something topical, I suppose. And
And Shangri-La's response is, "You're talking to that fat fuck?" It's like, yes, we are.
that's funny. Luca and Tommy like fist fight and they're like throwing each other, even though like neither of their people are doing anything about it. Like Luca's people aren't trying to like get to Tommy or anything. It's not like
Oh, they've
Polly
already
and
given up. Like, because Tommy has pointed out they've changed sides.
oh yeah. Well, either
They're
way,
being paid.
they're fighting. It's getting to the point where Tommy's just like banging Luca's head into a table, and it gets, and then someone comes in and it's Arthur. He's alive. We find out it was a
So much. I yell every time, Arthur! Because I love Arthur.
okay.
I do
We
love Arthur.
find out it was a ruse, and only Tommy, Polly, and Linda. I'm glad they told Linda. I can appreciate that. Even though we hate Linda, we're not going to just tell her, hey, we're not going to lie to her and say her husband's dead when he isn't. I appreciate that.
Right.
They knew the truth, but everyone else didn't. Arthur shoots Luca in the head, and they make a deal to export gin to New York with the remaining people in the Shangretta clan. The family has a party. Tommy offered Arthur a new life now that he is officially dead in the eyes of everybody else, but he's not going anywhere. Even and Linda's okay with this, I guess. Okay.
Kind of
Seems a
weird.
bit odd.
Yeah. Now
Anyway.
Arthur's got his balls back temporarily.
Yeah. Arthur says Tommy should take some time off now that the war, both wars, are over. And Tommy goes to Alfie on the beach and he tells him he's gonna kill him because, I mean, it's about time.
But he
Alfie
says
just.
that, that there would be two reasons, business or bad blood, and
And it's bad blood now, so
blood
whatever.
now, so okay.
Alfie just wants his dog taken care of and he has cancer. Apparently, he's lying about that, obviously, because he's Alfie, I guess. And it's basically giving him an honorable reason to shoot him. And even though he said that he wasn't armed, Alfie shoots Tommy in the shoulder and Tommy shoots Alfie in the face. So, like across his face, like on his cheek. Like
Right. And
it's not a graze, but it's like you can tell that he hit him.
yeah.
I guess. I don't know. We'll find out.
But
Anyway,
he's lying there on the beach, not moving,
and
and Tom.
Tommy doesn't check because it's Tommy. Why would he check?
Yeah.
Anyway, 3 months later, again, the pacing of this episode's wild. 3 months, I checked the time after Arthur came back in, or like when it got to like the dinner party afterwards, and I saw that I had like 20 minutes left. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? This is
Yeah,
not
I'm
the
like,
very
what are you
end.
gonna do in these 20 minutes? I'm like, 3 months are gonna pass.
But
Okay.
this 3 month later thing would make more sense as like an intro to the next season, but no.
Yeah.
Anyway, 3 months later, Tommy is taking a holiday and playing golf, but not enjoying it. He has not found peace from his PTSD. The housekeeper, Miss Francis, is worried about his mental state and wants to call the doctor. Tommy is binge drinking and losing it. Charlie, his son, sees him fall on glass because he's too drunk to stand up. Polly has talked to a doctor for him and says it could be nerves or the alcohol. Lizzie apparently wants to see him, but he doesn't want to see her, so fuck that, I guess. Tommy goes to work one day and tells his employee from before to deliver a letter to Jesse Eden, and he's now free to move to Glasgow with his family, finally, he's allowed out of the service. Tommy meets with Jesse Eden and kisses her, I guess, and wants to help with the communist party now. Okay. He gets the number for Casey Douglas, who is the leader of the cause and in contact with London and Moscow. They have sex. Okay. He meets with Maester Lewin. He meets with Maester Lewin
in the House of Lords. I just love that Maester Lewin's in this. He's so great.
Yeah, and says he can be of use to him to play both sides, even though you could just have Ada do it. But no, Tommy wants to be involved. He's the lead. Play both sides and give him information about the Communist Party and its members. He plans to rise through the ranks of the socialist movement and be an informant for the British government. And if in return, he wants a place in the House of, Parliament. And so the family voted for him. He's the Labour Party, because that makes a lot of sense for Tommy. And Tommy wins for the Labour Party, and he meets with Lizzie and their daughter afterwards. And Lizzie gives a scolding, like, glare to Jesse Eden as they walk away with their child, even though she didn't really win much, did she? You're just co-parenting at this point, which, I mean, is better than nothing, I suppose, but Lizzie obviously wants more. But we'll discuss that in the next season. That's the end of the episode.
Yay! Sorry. Because that last 20 minutes is like, what in the actual fuck? I do love, and you didn't mention this, or I didn't mention it, when, you know, Arthur comes in and shoots Shangreta afterwards. He's like, you don't fuck with the Peaky Blinders. Amen.
I knew you would mention that.
Because I love Arthur, and I love that like, you can't bring us down kind of thing. I love that. What were your best parts of this episode?
The ladies in the bathroom. I find that very funny. And I think that this is the kind of interaction I would want from, like, since they're actually trying to go for them, like, talking to each other, like characters do. I like this kind of interaction of a very casual, like, talking about what's going on thing. I mean, yeah. It doesn't have to be a full-blown, like, subplot, but I like that they're at least showing, and I wish they did more when Esme was there, of, like, just how the family interacts and how the women in the family interact with each other, I think is very interesting to me. But no, we get very few and far between things. I also just really like Ada. I think Ada has a cool dynamic with everybody in the group that I think that they could use more often than they do. And I hope that, if I'm remembering correctly, shines through a little bit more in the next season, but I don't remember. So we'll find out.
Tommy has a unique position with the whole family, the whole Shelby Company Limited, that is unusual. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Tommy, Polly, the twist is fun, I guess.
I could be... You don't love this? I love this.
I mean, I like it. Is it groundbreaking the third time I've watched it? No, but I mean, I don't know. I think that it. I don't know. I think the thing is, it's like it tries to play both sides of it. Should be obvious they're not going to kill Arthur off, because why would they? I mean, but John. Let's face it. John was expendable, and so was Grace, and so were all those other people. They could have killed Esme if they wanted to. They probably should have, but they didn't. But you know that these people are expendable. They should have killed Michael. They could have. I really wish they would, but they didn't. And so. I think that it's interesting because it's like, you need Arthur for this. Like, you know that he's a central part. Yes. And you're not going to kill that off. So when they're showing him, like, not, like, blinking and, like, having, like, blood covering his neck from the garrote and all that stuff. And it's Tommy freaking out over his body and stuff like that. I'm just like, okay, you're playing a little too hard into we're supposed to really think he's dead. I think that they should have shown just Tommy shooting the guy, like him, like in the hallway, shooting a shot, going in, coming out, telling Polly, and then like doing all that stuff and saying Arthur's dead, and then we see that stuff. Because I think they played a little too hard into us wanting the audience to truly believe he's dead by showing it.
But we did the first time we watched it.
Yes, and I believed it, and I would have probably believed it it regardless. I just think that they try really hard to make you believe it, which makes it, now that I know what the result is, makes me believe it less. I don't know. Or maybe it's a little too much, because I just think it's a little too much, in my opinion. I think it would have been better to show less. Anyway, that's my opinion though. But yeah, that's about it. I don't know why I put Polly. Polly's fine. Polly helps keep the secret, which is nice, I guess.
I like Polly being in all of these things. I love Arthur, obviously, in this. I
Oh yeah,
think
Arthur for killing him in the first place, yeah.
I love Arthur, and he basically says, Tommy, you need to take some time off because you're my brother and you've had to carry the load, kind of thing. It turns out to be a bad thing for Tommy. And I'll talk about that in my worst parts, honestly. Tommy, I love, just because. I love Polly in this for a couple of reasons. It's not just that she's in on it. It's also because she's willing to send Michael away. Like, she's, after all of this complete horse shit about, oh, Michael, we're going to go to Australia, blah, blah, blah. She understands that he betrayed the company and he betrayed Tommy, and that's not okay, and that he needs to go and make amends and be banished to America for a little while, kind of like Ada did. Now, of course, probably because the actor has something to do, but whatever. I
Well,
did
I
like
also
that,
sorry,
and I
just
go ahead.
sorry, just to speak on that moment really quickly, because I didn't put it in a worst part, but Michael, given that scenario, he knows that Tommy's never going to kill Polly. So him telling Tommy, hey, Polly took this deal, like that would have been very easy to do. And Tommy knows that, and yet he still lied his ass off. Great. Sorry, go ahead.
And I did like the bathroom scene. I didn't write it down initially because, it's one of those things, is certainly a better showcase of the dynamic than these bullshit jealousy
Slow-mo
things.
sequences.
Yeah, the slow-mo sequences and that kind of stuff. So anyway, what were your worst parts?
Shangretta, Arthur's quote unquote death. It's a bit too, it's a bit showy. And it's like, okay, well, especially once you see that he's not blinking, it's like, okay, you really want us to think he's dead. Like, and then so it feels a little bit more cheap, in my opinion, when he comes back to life randomly. It's kind of like in those shows that I watch on the CW randomly, or like soap operas.
I
Soap
don't watch
operas.
those, so I wouldn't know.
Once Upon a Time did it all the time, of like there's a death, and then randomly a couple episodes later, oh, they're back to life. We need them for the plot. It's like a soap opera. Like death isn't permanent.
What plot armor is, and I get that. I just feel like, I don't know. When you watch these initially, you're not going to feel that way.
No, but and now that I've watched it a couple of times, it cheapens it a little bit more. But I don't know why I feel that way. I just do. Lizzie, for being a needy bitch, like girl, whatever. I don't even care. I don't care enough about Lizzie to waste my breath on her anymore. Jesse Eden, I don't care. I don't care that she kissed Tommy or Tommy kissed her. I don't care that they had sex. It clearly didn't matter. I don't know why they put that in there. And pacing was just so off in this episode. I do not it, like it, towards the end of the season in general, it just the pacing was just weird.
So yeah, my worst parts, I include Alfie Solomons in the worst part. I
And
just,
Alfie, yeah.
yeah, I think that's the worst part. Shangretta, I didn't put him as a worst part because he's such a great nemesis. I mean, I can't put him as a worst part, other than like, yeah, he's having a temper tantrum, but that's what you want him to do. And he does it much better than the guy who played Savini. I really
Yeah, I
feel
agree.
this is just a much more believable temper tantrum, and you see him melt a little bit when he realizes that his guys don't have his back, they won't make eye contact with him. I think that's really pretty good. I didn't put it as the best part, although it possibly is the best part, so whatever. Because I love Adrien Brody as Shangri-La, I think that's fantastic. I hated, and we you didn't even really talk about it that much. There is a 3 month time period, but even before that, there is this absurd depression montage with
Oh,
Tommy.
the montage, because I skipped
Like,
it because I didn't think it was worth noting.
no, it's it, but it goes on way too long. There's this
It's
like,
after the 3 month time skip, by the way.
Right. Okay, whatever. So he's gonna play golf and he throws clubs and he has PTSD symptoms and he drinks and he's miserable. And Polly points out to him, like, hey, you're worse when you're not working. You do
You're not
better.
you when you're hungry. Here, have a
Right.
Snickers bar.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like that. It's like you definitely need to have something to do, because when you don't have something to do, it's bad. And so, like, he puts on his work clothes, and the governess is kind of like, hey, you're supposed to be resting. He's like, there's no rest for me in this life, maybe in the next life. Because he understands that his brain has to be focused on something else, other than himself. So, yeah, I felt like that was where the pacing of this episode was just dumb. I'm sorry. You need to lead up to a cliffhanger for the next season, or even if not, like, let's say this was going to be the last season of Peaky Blinders. Is this how you want to end it? Really? I mean, it ends on, Tommy's elected to be a member of parliament. Yay.
Was
And
that
look.
ever an ambition of his, ever?
No, and like Lizzie gets to look at the sex girl and be like, hey, I went, I had his baby. Like, okay, I don't give a fuck. I mean,
She
I don't really.
easily, let's also put it in perspective, Jesse Eden easily could have had his baby. Let's
Right.
not pretend she couldn't. It's not a
Right.
re love is not a requirement to make a baby, unfortunately, for everybody else. But
Well, and it's
it's
not a
just
requirement to make a baby with Tommy Shelby.
for sure.
So yeah, that's the thing. Anyway, so the bottom line is that I really, there are some things about this episode I absolutely love, but they are in that first 40 minutes, and that last 20, it's kind of like, eh? So yeah. What grade did you give this episode?
B plus.
Yeah, I had A minus question mark. I
Yeah.
don't think A minus, because again, that last 20 minutes is just
It's
shit.
useless.
It is
Well, not
stupid.
useless. It sets up the next season, but you could have had that at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Set
You
up the
have
next
time
season
skips
and
all
the
the
next
time.
season. Yeah, you do. And I didn't need this in this. I really did
Yeah,
not.
I
So,
know.
yeah, I really, and I felt like it was all subplots I don't give a fuck about. So anyway, I am looking forward to, because there are a bunch of things about the next two seasons that I don't remember. There are some big story arcs that I kind of remember, but there's a lot of minutia I don't. I'm hoping that minutia is not just a bunch of montages that I've mentally obliterated, but whatever. Yes.
Don't we want to rank the seasons?
Oh, yes. Okay,
It's
go
the end
ahead.
of the season, believe
That's
it
true.
or not.
That's true. Go.
Well, obviously, season one's the best season. Let's not play around. It is. It
Yes.
will always be. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm
As
not. Season one is the best season.
I think I like season two better than season four. I can't tell you why. I think I maybe just like how Tommy's greed is get he his eyes are too big for his mouth, in a way of like he it shows a character flaw in Tommy that we're not recycling a lot, and it's just like he wants to expand to London, and I love a lot of the sequences in that or just even generally just like there are more moments in season two I like than season four. There are more like the Derby and the very beginning with the club fight in London, and like there are more hallmark moments in season two that I remember more vividly than in season four. Again, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast when we started season four, I did not remember this season whatsoever. I remember Adrien Brody played a villain at one point. I did not remember the season. I remembered bits and pieces. I skipped in my head to the next season. So if that tells you anything about what I remembered, I was just like, what was the like big event that happened at the end of this season? And apparently it was a boxing match. I didn't know that. And so I just don't think the season I like this season a lot. I really like Adrien Brody. I kind of liked the more consistent arc of Tommy in the second season, though. Of like And you also had, obviously you had the...
Grace still. Grace is still in the picture in the second
season. Well, not even just Grace, of just, you had the Campbell come back and right. be an antagonistic force for Polly. You did have the stupid Michael bullshit, but you have stupid Michael bullshit in all the other seasons as well, except for season one, because it's good. And so I just think that at least Polly had an arc in that season. It kind of came out of nowhere, but at least it was something. I don't know. Polly's just kind of a jack of all trades now. She's just like, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. It's just kind of like, what newer thing are we going to do to Polly this season? But
go ahead and finish.
My rankings right as of now from just my memory of like the seasons past, because the Austinathon did scramble me a bit. But my ranking from top to bottom: season one, season two, season four, season three.
I'm debating about where two and four are. Season one is clearly the best season. There's really no question. Season two has some good stuff in it. There's just a lot of dead time in season two. There's all the stuff with the horse girl that I really don't give a fuck about.
But at least she had a personality, unlike Jesse Eaton.
She didn't have a personality. What she had?
She had a dead husband, at least.
But she, God, yeah. I mean, well, Jesse Eaton had a dead boyfriend. I mean, you know, whatever. She's better. Yes, Horse Girl is better than Jesse Eaton, but I don't want to rank these seasons on the business sex, because the business sex is never good. It's never like the main.
Unless it's Grace, it's not good.
right. And she really isn't, it's not transactional with her.
It's not.
And, you know, there is like sex with Grace in both season one and season two. I do like Inspector Campbell as a nemesis for Polly in season two. And I think that might put season two ahead of season four in part. And I will say this, and I think this is part of the reason you aren't remembering season four all that well, is that there are these fucked up paced episodes.
And the subplots are just not as interesting to me.
Right. And so like you have this great thing that involves like all the Shelbys, like Arthur getting, you know, they fake Arthur's death or whatever. And the real John death. You know, those things are very real. And then you waste the rest of the episode on Fuck Girl and something else. It's like, I don't care. I just don't care. And that's the problem, is the showrunners sometimes just lose the ball. And that happened more in season four than it did in season two. So I'm going to have to say season one, season two, season four. Season three was just not good.
Season three sucks.
Yeah, I mean, and I will say this. The business sex in season three is better than the business sex in season four.
Is it? Tatiana?
Yes, at least interesting, something's happening. It's not this fucking
Tatiana is a weirdo. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah, but at least there's an entertainment to it that she's like,
is there? Job. I just was cringing.
Jesse Eden's just nothing. She's
I don't care about Jesse Eden, but I would take boring rather than insane.
Well, whatever. Fine.
Do you want to watch him being choked out while he's thinking about Grace and making her seem like, oh, you're fucking your dead wife? Like, do you want that? No.
I don't want any of it, honestly.
Okay, great.
So I don't want any of the business sex, but the business sex is part of the show. So there we are. In any case, we do have season five and season six coming up. And I'm not really sure that I remember either of them terribly clearly.
I remember season five more than I remember season six, for sure.
I think I do too. And I think that it is part of my complaint of there are too many montages in both of these seasons that will make me unhappy. And I have a feeling there's going to be bitching. However, there will also be really cool drinks for my new Peaky Blinders cocktail book. So yay, it's going to be awesome. And we do really look forward to sharing these with you. We hope that you join us. Oh, and I want to add one other thing to our possible one other listener who made the request about Hercule Poirot movies. We might actually do that. It can happen.
Which generation though? The old ones or the new ones?
The request was for Kenneth Branagh. I asked.
You mean the three of them that are out? I could do that. I mean,
that'd I could be see that. Coming. I could do that too.
I still haven't seen A Haunting in Venice yet.
Can I talk? I was unclear on whether we were supposed to compare those to the David Suchet, the old ones, like compare Death on the Nile and compare Murder on the Orient Express to those other ones. So I don't know. We also require payment, so we shall see. In any case, we look forward to the last two seasons of Peaky Blinders. They're going to be coming up for us very soon. We hope that you join us, and
cheers.